Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We have open phone lines for you right now at 1-800-677-9377. If you have a line right now, hold on to it. We'll get to your call very quickly. But again, 1-800-677-9377. We are here live every day for one reason only, to receive your phone calls and address your questions with the Basic Gospel. If there's a question or something you'd like to talk about, call right now. Open lines at 1-800-677-9377. Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. 1-800-677-9377. This is your invitation to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to talk about contentment today. Paul had learned the secret of how to be content in all circumstances. He writes about that in his letter to the Philippians. He said, I know what it is to be in need, and I think all of us know what it is to be in need. There's very few people who have lived a life of just plenty from start to finish. We all go through ups and downs in lives. We come to that point, and we know what it is to be in need. And then, you know, a big bulk of our population knows what it is to have plenty. But Paul says this, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And as a result of that, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Powerful, powerful passage.
Yeah.
And the question on the table today is, have you learned the secret of being content in all circumstances? I know as I look out and talk with people and meet people and just observe what's going on in the world today, there's a lot of unhappy souls walking the streets.
Yeah.
Life is just tough, and they can never smile, be happy, you know, feel like there's hope or anything. Well, there's a secret to being content. It's found in the gospel message. And if you want to know that secret, call and be a part of today's broadcast. We would love to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. Well, we're going to start today's program in Denver, Colorado, with Kenny listening to us on KRKS. Hi, Kenny.
Hi. I want to commend you, and actually I want to thank God for your program, because your teaching brings it down to the level of simplicity. And the way I have my contentment is I go through the adversities and I go, what a difference 24 hours makes. And then I go on to say, thank goodness tomorrow's another day. And I just wanted to say that. I wanted to say that yesterday, but things got wrapped up and wasn't able to. And
well, we thank you for calling back today.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we thank you for the encouraging words and for the practical help. You know, everything's so urgent for us. You know, it's an emergency. We try to think of everything has to be done right now. If we'll just step back, as you're saying that you do, just kind of step back and take a look at the big picture, we get the proper perspective, don't we? We realize that God truly can work all things together for good for us.
And that's another thing I was going to say. The sin that I got, I'm the worst sinner in the world, but he uses my sin for the best. It brings it out, you know, to where, like when Joseph was thrown into prison and just countless things. You know, I look, well, if he can do that for him, well, I'm sure he can make it work good for me. And 98% of the time he does. It's just my own sour thinking that when I doubt.
Yeah, that's exactly right. These minds of ours cause a lot of problems. How we think about the past, and we get all down over what could have been and what wasn't, and all of those sort of things. We relive those sins and those defining moments, and we feel all that guilt and all of those powerful emotions again today. And then if that's not bad enough, we start projecting out in the future and, you know, low as me, life is never going to work out. It's always going to be tough. I'm never going to be successful. I'm never going to be happy. Whoa, whoa, whoa is me. And, you know, pretty soon we're having that self-pity party and, you know, no one comes, and that makes us even more depressed. And life is just, you know, that's how we perceive it in our minds. But if we'll just step back and take a look at reality, what's true, and how God has protected us and provided for us and is there with us, we gain a whole new perspective, and our hearts can actually respond to that with thankfulness. And that's the secret of being content.
And joy.
Absolutely. Well, Kenny, thanks for your great call today. We sure appreciate it.
Well, thank you again.
Thank you.
Plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock. We want you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. 1-800-677-9377.
Richard, in all of your upbringing and kind of the religious life that you were involved in, was there any contentment in that for you as an individual?
I didn't know the word existed. I was always upset about something. Most of the time I was upset about me, because I had these incredibly high standards that I had identified. I had to be better than God. That's what it came down to. Just ugly pride, arrogance, and all of that. And when you're, the way I like to describe arrogance is it's just a defense mechanism for fear. And when I realized I was afraid of everything, I was afraid of God, I was afraid of myself, I was afraid of church, I was afraid of everything. You have to come to grips with the fact that he either did something for you or he did nothing. It wasn't a partway thing. And when it finally dawned on me that there were things that God did for me, regardless of who I was, he did it for me and he did it for everybody else, and it changes your life. It gives you a different focus. You get your eyes off of yourself and your own supposed successes or failures. You put them on Jesus, and I mean that literally. You have to consider Jesus 24/7 in order to stay out of these traps. It does change, and your want to's change, because the Spirit is changing you from the inside out. I guarantee you, if you've never lived from the inside out, you haven't lived, because the Spirit is that powerful.
Absolutely. So contentment can be yours.
Yes.
It's not this fleeting thing that you keep reaching for, but can never, you know, grab hold of it. It can be yours. And not because of anything that you've done, but simply because you're choosing to rest in the love and grace and mercy of Jesus. And that's the secret. That is the secret. Paul learned it and he applied it. And that's the deal. You know, we know the secret. Oftentimes we don't apply it. But the word applied is what transforms us and gives us that sense of contentment. So, well, 1-800-677-9377 is the number to call if you'd like to be a part of today's broadcast. Also, on our offer this month, Profiles in Character, one of the messages deals specifically with contentment. So if that's something that you've struggled with in life, there's this restlessness underneath that you just, you know, something's wrong, but you can't figure out what it is. Well, this is a series that will help you identify that underlying restlessness and will help you take some steps to put that to an end, where you can really grab hold of contentment and make it yours in day-to-day experience.
It's a 3D series by Bob Christopher, as a matter of fact, Profiles in Character, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to the ministry. Simply go online to basicgospel.net. You'll find prominent links right on the homepage to make your gift and to request your copy, or you can call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. For a gift of any amount, Profiles in Character by Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Donovan, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Donovan.
Hey,
Donovan. You're on the air.
Okay. I have four questions, but I'm not on the ear on my side, so I just got to listen over my listen for the answer.
Okay.
Is there more than one way you can get saved?
Well, not according to the Word of God. Salvation is through Jesus and through Jesus Christ alone, as he stated, and John recorded it in his gospel. Jesus said this: I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And all the apostles in their letters really amplify that statement. Paul said, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So salvation is through Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ alone. It's salvation by grace through faith.
Okay, my second question is that in the scriptures I saw where Peter baptized people in the name of Jesus, and also Paul and Philip and stuff like that. But in some church, those not baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, where there is only one place in the Bible where Jesus said, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And according to Acts, Peter says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. No, repent of this and you can have one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, then you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Can you explain that for me?
Well, that's simply what Peter said to those who were listening to him that day in Jerusalem. Baptism was something that was a part of Judaism. Gentile converts were baptized by water. That was a sign that they were now a part of Judaism. There were many ritual cleansings and that sort of thing. And he was just using something that was common to the Jewish mind and saying, hey, be baptized, identify yourself with Jesus, because he has remitted your sins through his death. Identify yourself with that and receive the gift of God's Spirit. So that was simply what Peter said on that particular day. We don't see that necessarily repeated after that. Paul said, just believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. Peter said the same thing in his writings. So that wasn't a formula for salvation. Many people have just lasered on into that verse and said, here it is, here's the formula. And if you don't follow that formula, you can't be saved.
But in the book of Acts of the Apostles, you find the same thing in Acts chapter 2:38, you find it in Acts chapter 8, you find it in Acts chapter 9, and you find it in Acts chapter 10.
And?
So,
you're not going to find it later on. No, it's not that anything has changed. Salvation has always been by grace through faith. It's always been that. It's never been anything else. Peter, who was the one who said in Acts 2:38, repent, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 15, he simply says this, that no, we believe it is through the grace of the Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are. So the question is about salvation. How are people saved? A Jew and Gentile get saved alike. And he clarifies that, and he says, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are. So if you punch Peter in the stomach and said, ask him the question, how are we to be saved? That's what he would answer, through the grace of our Lord Jesus. The fact that he died, the fact that he was buried, the fact that he was raised back to life. That's where salvation comes. Paul said, this is the gospel that saves. The fact that Jesus died according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised according to scriptures. There's no baptism mentioned in that. So the gospel merely is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We enter into that gospel story by faith and by faith alone.
So the next question is a next question. In John chapter 3, where Jesus said, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit.
Yeah, that water isn't referring to water baptism. There's two ways that you can look at it. The water of physical birth, you're in the womb, you're in a sack of water. So some interpret it that way. Others interpret it based on Titus 3:5. The washing of regeneration and the renewing by the word. It's something that happens by faith. It's the cleansing of the word, and that's just kind of a picture of that spiritual salvation. So Jesus wasn't talking about water baptism in that. And here's something, Donovan, to take in and to really consider and to lay it down as a premise when you think about salvation. Jesus said that John the Baptist baptized with water, but he was going to baptize with the Spirit and with fire. There is a baptism that saves. It's a spiritual baptism. It's the moment that we trust in Jesus and are placed into the body of Christ. That's what Jesus is all about. John was the one bringing a baptism of water. Jesus brings the baptism of the Spirit and of fire. Fire simply meaning judgment, and there's going to be a time when that judgment is going to be made known. So if you will look at that as a premise, a basic fundamental truth, then I think it will clear up any of the questions or confusions you might have about water baptism. Okay, Donovan?
This is my last question.
Okay, quickly.
The last question is, in Acts chapter 19, where Paul met those 12 people going to Ephesus, he questioned them, "Do you believe, since you believe, have you received the Holy Spirit?" And that was way after Jesus was received into the heavens, and they said, no, whether he has the Holy Spirit. And they questioned him about his baptism also, and the Bible said they were baptized a second time, and he lays and opened them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Is there a different way you can receive the Holy Spirit from the way that those people received the Holy Spirit?
Well, I didn't receive it that way. I received it when I was saved. When I went down an aisle and responded to a gospel message and said, "Lord Jesus, I need you. I know I'm a sinner, and thank you for dying for my sins." And so I received the Spirit then. I was made alive, regenerated, born again. That's how I received it. Nobody laid hands on me.
How do you know you receive the Holy Spirit if it does not come upon you according to the Scriptures? How do you know you receive it?
Well, because the Bible says that His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God, Romans 8, 14 through 17.
The evidence of a changed life.
And the evidence of a changed life. That's how you know. And John tells us how we know also in his first letter. When we learn to love God and love others as Christ has loved us, that can only happen as a result of the Spirit living in us. So the fact that we love, that's a fruit of the Spirit, is evidence that that God's Spirit is truly alive, living in us. Well, Donovan, great question today. We certainly appreciate your call.
You too.
Hey, call anytime, my friend.
Thanks, Donovan. Just a smidge of time left on the clock, 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, Curtis from Oregon called, and he had a great question and was unable to hold on, but we want to address that question. And it was simply this: what is the definition of sin? And I think that's an excellent question. So, Richard, how do we answer that? What is the definition of sin? Is it a multiple layer definition? Is it something just real simple that we can grab hold of? What is the definition of sin?
There are two layers, as I see it. One is root cause. The core issue is unbelief. And Paul tells us this in Romans 14. Look, he's dealing with people who are arguing over food. He says, stop arguing over food. Stop hurting each other over food. Obviously, some people believe food is bad, some don't. So whatever is not of faith, whatever doesn't come from inside you based on your relationship with Jesus, is sin. Well, that's the root cause. Now, if you look on the outside, there are results of that. There are symptoms of sin that are behavioral. And so, we tend to look only at the behavioral aspects. Well, somebody cursed the other day. That was a sin. Well, somebody brought somebody else to Jesus, but they did it in their own strength instead of by faith. That, too, was a sin. So we're not asked to judge ourselves and judge each other on the basis of behavior, because we can lie like crazy in behavior. We're asked to bring each other to Jesus, to show other people Jesus. When you catch somebody that, or come upon someone who is caught in a sin, restore them gently to Jesus. Don't restore them with the back of your hand. be careful that you don't fall into it yourself. This is all about bringing people together with Christ rather than judging people and saying, you know, if you don't stop this, you're going to hell. It's totally an internal thing that has external symptoms.
Absolutely. So I love that. I love that two-layered approach. We've got the root cause, mm-hmm. whatever is not of faith. The Romans 14:23 states it in those terms. James talks about sin being a violation of the law, a transgression of the mm-hmm. law. That's the external nature
yes.
of sin. So unbelief is going to result in adultery, lying, stealing,
things.
You know, greed and all of that sort of stuff. But that's not the root cause. And Jesus kind of took that approach in his ministry.
Yes.
He started outside, external, and he said, haven't any of you asked the question, why? Why are you doing that? Well, if you do, you're going to have to realize that something's wrong deep within you. It's a heart issue. That's where you're living in unbelief. And I've come to change that. I've come to change that heart from one of unbelief to one of belief
yes.
in Christ. And that's a powerful thing. And the other aspect of it as well, when you look at behavior of sin, you see it's the very opposite of love.
Yes.
You know, we think of it just in terms of law, and that's what scares us because we know a violation of the law brings punishment. That's what we're afraid of. But Jesus has dealt with that. And once we realize it, we can see that sin, the acts of sin, really are the opposite of love. You know, sin isn't patient. Sin isn't kind. Sin doesn't, you know, sin does keep records of wrong.
Yes.
Sin does all of the things opposite of what love would do. And as a result of that, it brings hurt and harm into people's lives. And when we see it in that vantage point, I think we have a real grace definition of sin. And it just really does something in our hearts to thank God for what Christ has accomplished for us through his death, burial,
yes.
and resurrection. Let's go to Denise in California, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, Denise.
Hello?
Denise, you're on the air.
Hi.
Welcome.
My name is actually Cindy.
Oh, hi, Cindy.
That's why I didn't recognize. Hi, guys. Yes, and I think, good afternoon, by the way. And to add on to what you were saying, sin draws us away from the Lord. And I think that's one of the most poignant things to remember is that when we're away from God's presence, we're lost in our own selves. So that's nowhere to be. But I just wanted to call and say thank you so much for everything you're doing. I listen to you guys regularly, and I'm sure there's a lot of people who listen. And just want to say thank you, and God bless you, and thank you for your wisdom and information. I ask that you just continue to soften your hearts and that you would be receptive to those who are calling to find answers. And just strengthen and encourage the people who are listening. There are a lot of us out here. And we also bless you. And praise God for you.
Well, Denise, thank you so much for
thank
that.
You.
That's just the perfect way to end a broadcast. We need encouragement. And thank
yes.
you for being the one to do that, Cindy. We sure appreciate it. And thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
Let me
well,
put
God
you on hold
you
and just to say thank you. We'll send you a special gift today, okay? You hang on, Cindy.
Thanks, Cindy. And thanks to everyone for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We're here every day, and we invite you to be here also. For your support of Basic Gospel in any amount, we have that excellent 3-CD series by Bob Christopher for you. It's called Profiles in Character. The series, Bob identifies some rather unlikely heroes, and through their stories, you'll learn the secret to experiencing genuine contentment in life. You'll learn the importance of thankfulness and how to make a difference in the lives of other people. Profiles in Character, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and receive your CD series, call 1-800-727-2828. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours, or visit our website, basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link right on the homepage, basicgospel.net. And if you like what you hear each day on Basic Gospel, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at BasicGospelRDO. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry staff, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.